As the manhunt continues, the FBI warns the Brown University attacker is armed and dangerous.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. We've got a packed show for you today. Will Haynes in the studio. My brother Jordan Seculo is joining us in just a second. We got Rick Rennell a little bit later on, as well as Representative Jared Moskowitz. It's going to be a packed broadcast you're not going to want to miss. The top story of today, of course, right now, we are discussing they just had an update on that Brown University shooter, because we know the manhunt continues. Who they thought was the person of interest was released, and now they said they believe it was definitely a targeted attack at Brown University, and they're looking for potential motives, but they said there is a manhunt, well armed and dangerous.
That's right. So the individual they initially took into custody for questioning, they had released. We are now into the fourth day of this manhunt after this attack at Brown University, which killed two individuals. One was a sophomore. She was 19 years old. And the other was an 18-year-old freshman who was a naturalized citizen from Uzbekistan. And what we see now is that the leads seem to be less than they maybe had at the beginning. And they are searching for someone they release new video of, where you could not see the face of the individual, but there was definitely some characteristics about him, whether it be the way the individual walked, they could tell the height of the individual. They put this out with a $50,000 reward for information. But at this point, it seems like they are chasing down leads, but not with a lot of success at this point. We will see what comes up out of this. The 19-year-old from Birmingham, Alabama, she was the vice president of the College Republicans there. The other individual, Mahmoud Aziz Umarazokov, was a Uzbek national that was naturalized in the U.S. and aspired to be a doctor. But we are now seeing what hopefully is not a trend after what we saw in Utah with Charlie Kirk, where there was someone who targeted a university. And instead of what has historically, unfortunately, been the case in the United States, where someone goes on a killing spree and then ends up being killed either by themselves or police in their attack, people are now leaving and fleeing, and the police are having a hard time catching these individuals. It raises a lot of questions on that front too, Logan.
We're going to cover that and a lot more coming up. Again, like I said, my brother Jordan's going to be joining us in the next segment. He's in the studio right now, but he'll be joining us on mic in the next segment. Rick Rennell a little bit later on. And again, Representative Jared Moskowitz, it's going to be packed. But I want to hear from you as well. We're not going to have as many time for calls today. So if you do want to call in, it's kind of the time to do it at 1-800-684-3110. We'll take calls in the next segment. We'll probably have maybe one more segment we could take calls. So 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard today on the air. And speaking of voice, it is Raise Your Voice Week. A very special week here at the ACLJ as we are headed towards the end of the year. We are only 2 weeks from the end of the year, and we're facing some big challenges to your free speech. We've heard about, obviously, whether people are sharing about life, whether they are sharing about their faith on the streets. We have been there. We've been involved. We represented the peaceful pro-life advocates, Zach Knotts, his wife. You're going to hear that story specifically in a new project we have going on that only happens, by the way, at least to the scale that we really believe this could make it. And yesterday you showed up. And I'll be honest, I'd love for you to show up again today. A lot of you responded to our new documentary series, The Chilling Effect, The War on Free Speech. This will be rolling out, hopefully, in the new year, but only if people like you support it. We have done some early pre-production. We've done some early production. We've started to piece this together. And as was being pieced together, I really felt like we could take this up to the next level to make sure more people can see it. And we even can get more stories inside this series. It only happens if you support it. So right now, during Raise Your Voice Week, I want you to go to ACLJ.org or scan your QR code that you see on the screen right now. Make your donation today. All donations right now are not only tax deductible, but are doubled dollar for dollar as part of our year-end Freedom Drive. So do it today. And you know what? Your name will appear in the credits if you choose as a founding producer. We'll be right back with more on Seculo.
Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. We've defended innocent babies, and we saw years of hard work come to fruition with the historic overturning of Roe v. Wade. We've literally helped save the lives of persecuted Christians. None of these critical legal victories we've scored would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. Freedom is never more than a generation from extinction. President Reagan's words were never more true than today. We cannot wait for them to get to us. The future of our republic and possibly our faith is at stake. That's why today we are launching our Freedom Drive. We know that freedom isn't free, and to have the resources we need to fight for your freedom, we need your support. Have your gift doubled today at aclj.org/freedom.
We've witnessed monumental legal victories from defending the 14th Amendment and protecting our sacred American right to vote, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and standing up for the religious liberty of our kids and seniors. But even with the many historic wins we've achieved, the battle is far from over. The attacks on our constitutionally protected rights persist. Countless unborn babies remain in jeopardy, and across the globe, innocent Christians are being targeted and killed across this country and around the world. This fight isn't just the ACLJ's, it's all of ours. It belongs to every American who wants to preserve the values and beliefs on which this nation was founded. None of the victories we've won would have been possible without the unwavering support of ACLJ members and ACLJ champions. It's been an honor to fight for you all these years. Join us in fighting for freedom. Have your donation doubled at aclj.org/freedom.
Welcome back to Seculo. We do have some phone lines open. Like I said, if you wanted to be on the air today, we're only have two segments. We're going to be taking calls. That is this segment and the segment towards the end of the broadcast. So really, the next two segments are the times. That's what I'm just looking at right now. The next two segments are going to be taking calls. So if you want to call in, 1-800-684-3110. I know a lot of you are just joining us right now, so we need to give you that update from the FBI saying, hey, the suspect still in the Brown University shooting, they do not have the person, and they consider them armed and dangerous, again, as they believe it's a targeted attack. Now, it's a little unclear if it's targeted on the people or if it's targeted specifically to the school. A lot of this information has not come out. There's not a ton of details of what this is. We're not going to spend our whole hour on this. We just wanted to make sure we covered this at least for a segment or two. So if you are listening, and even if you're in that area, that you know the update.
That's right. So the law enforcement has come forward and said this individual they believe to be armed and dangerous. They released new footage of the individual that they are seeking. Once again, they haven't put out a ton of details, and they did have a person of interest early that they have released. This individual on video is not the same individual that has already been released, as well as they said they believe that he targeted the university, but they haven't gone into a lot of detail whether that means he targeted that specific gathering where individuals were, or whether it was just there was an opportunity because there was a gathering of people in a classroom and took that opportunity. But after the attack, instead of it continuing an attack, it appears this individual used time to escape in the chaos. And Jordan, this is now the second attack on a university.
Right.
We saw the one in Utah against Charlie Kirk, which was a targeted attack.
We had that initial arrest
person
on the site that
released. And now we have this where an individual has carried out an attack and not used it as an opportunity to go out in a blaze of glory against the police in a firefight, but fled. And at this point, it seems that the police are struggling to find that individual.
Yeah, I mean, it's unique facts, right? You've got it's a weekend at a university going into exams, as we were talking about. So we don't know if this was an exam review. We don't know if this was a club meeting. We do know that one of the individuals killed was the vice chair of the Brown College Republicans.
Right.
So was it? I feel like if it was a meeting like that, it was so direct, like there was a direct tie to politics, they probably would say something, because that might help people think, okay, do I know someone who, you know, has that connection to Brown and didn't like this group or people in that group? But then you know, we also know there's eight others injured. They're being, I think, you know, it's an Ivy League institution. They're being very quiet about what they're releasing, and so is the community. I mean, that video that we saw, that is not, I mean, you'd have to really know who that person is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd rather know how someone walked.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, because they're fully, and also they've got a lot of layers on. So I think it's you know, we know it gets more difficult for law enforcement. They always say the first 48 hours, and then
it gets really tough.
Really tough, especially if the person is not in the area and you don't have, we don't know the amount of tips that are coming in. We don't know the amount of information. We don't know what the survivors were able to see either. Like, who were they able to describe?
There's a lot of details that have not been released.
Doesn't seem like, at least, they had a name. Yeah. So the people who were in that room who were able to speak to the police, who were maybe injured but able to talk, doesn't seem like they were, like, immediately identified who this was.
No, and I think when you have a situation like this, look, there are those moments where, you know, look at what just happened with the January 6th bomber, where 4 or 5 years down the road, you have the right team in place, details emerge. They can do their job. It's not impossible. But I know that this is, it becomes stressful, I'm sure, as people. Look, the school's got to be essentially closed for Christmas break, I would assume, at this point.
They are not having exams in person. So whether different professors may be doing things different ways, but they've canceled that. The remainder of the semester, it is closed on campus for any learning or examinations.
Close to it anyway.
Right, exactly.
This was probably the last week.
Yeah, if that.
Maybe a couple of, sometimes you had a couple exams that would go into this late. That's probably what this was probably a group of students coming together to study for an exam.
Yeah. I mean, it's really a tragedy, and it's been, like I said, it's been a certainly a rough few days over the past weekend and into now Tuesday here for all of what's going on.
We have that we're able to finish out Hanukkah and go into Christmas without more of these mass incidents.
When we talked to Jeff Balaban yesterday, but when I talked to him a couple weeks ago, you know, I hate to be someone who says that it's predictable.
I know.
But in the conversation we had with him, I said, you know, Hanukkah is coming up. What do we do about security protocols? And then, of course, day one of Hanukkah, the attack in Australia happens, and you don't want to be like, well, I said it, and therefore it happened. It's sadly inevitable. Listen, are you going to be a congregating area of a large Jewish population during a holiday?
In parts of the world where Christian persecution is bad, it's going to get worse on Christmas, and in Nigeria, because they know more people will be gathered at the church so that the extremists will utilize that. We know it's worse during Easter. You know, so, like, why? Because there's more people there. They usually have multiple services. It's more chaotic because more people are going in and out, and there's a lot of people. Now, that means security does go up, but that incident in Australia was unique because it was on a, you know, public beach. And we know, we've represented churches that do this on the beach. It's very, you know, California that do this
very
weekly.
Very similar.
And security is a little different. But again, do we have to live in a new mindset, or can we fight this ideology so that this is something that we talk about historically instead of something that is so regular?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to hear from you and your thoughts on this as well at 1-800-684-3110. In the next segment, we'll be taking some of your calls and comments, and a lot of you are just coming in online. Of course, as I've also said, it's an important time to not only be vigilant, but to raise your voice to make sure that you are being heard. That is something the ACLJ has been fighting for decades. Freedom of speech has always been the forefront of what the ACLJ does, and it couldn't be more necessary than right now. Honestly, you know, we always say, you know, how do you fight back against speech is with more speech, and it's a dark time out there for a lot of people, even though we're heading into the holidays, and I hope some of you can at least relax, you know, enjoy time with your friends and family. But for a lot of people, that's just simply not going to be an easy case, specifically if you are, whether you're in the Jewish community over Hanukkah, or whether you're in the Christian community and you're worried about where you're going to be going on Christmas Eve services, or you're going to be worried about going to, you know, a lot of people had their tree lighting ceremonies last week, and you see congregations of hundreds of thousands of people, and you're going to do special events. Of course, it's in the back of our minds always, and that's really a shame. What I'm hoping, though, is that we have a group of people who can come in and make sure that we don't feel like this way permanently. But one of the most important things is to make sure that you are one of the louder people as well. That, you know, we aren't silenced out of fear. And I want to encourage you to support one of our new projects. Again, I'm going to be talking about this a lot because I really do believe in it. A few months ago, when our team started showing me some of the footage that they had been capturing of some of the great stories, like Zach Knotts and his wife, who were pro-life advocates, you know, essentially protesting outside of abortion clinics, but not even protesting. They're peaceful advocates trying to speak, trying to have their voice heard, trying to reach people who are making a decision that they believe is murder. We were able to work with them, and we were able to tell their story. There's other street preachers. We're able to tell their story. Of course, the bigger global issue of the freedom of speech that is happening right now and the censorship that's happening right now, and where some of the louder voices are the ones that are doing it for clicks and are not the ones that are doing it because they truly feel the call to this. So I encourage you, if you want to raise your voice, this is Raise Your Voice Week here as we start to head to the very end of the year. And like I've said, December's the most important month for the ACLJ in terms of fundraising. It's true for all organizations. But right now, all your donations are doubled. We had a big day yesterday because this team's put together this really just sample of what it could look like. And it motivated our team to say, you know what, I think we can take this to the next level. I don't think it has to live exclusively as an ACLJ documentary. We send it out to your friends. Hopefully you like it. Great. It's a cool project. You get engaged and educated. We love doing those. We do them all the time. Our team puts them together. This one felt like it could be taken up a notch to the next level here because these stories are so impactful. And you need to be a part of that as well. So right now, I'm going to encourage you. Go to aclj.org/voice. And that is if you want to have your name appear in the credits of this project as a founding producer, because this doesn't happen without you. It is called The Chilling Effect, A War on Free Speech. That's the working title. Of course, projects take time. You never know where it may end up, but that's currently the working title, is The Chilling Effect. And that's because that seems to be the phrase that keeps coming up over and over and over again when the team is doing these interviews, that whether it is a representative, whether it's a senator, whether it's somebody who is on the streets, the chilling effect of the censorship of free speech, that seems to be a phrase that's repeated over and over.
I was with Senator Bill Hagerty. He's one of those that we filed the FOIA on behalf of. We're working on some other legal potential moves there with the Arctic Frost and their phone records being subpoenaed, even though the speech and debate clause should prevent that from ever happening. And I'm not going to name the company that did it, but there's issues with the companies as well that they didn't push back, because the one company that did, Jack Smith didn't even try to take to court because he knew they had the winning argument. And I will tell you, what are they trying to do when they subpoena a U.S. senator's phone records secretly without any notice to them? They're not a criminal. They're not under criminal investigation at all. They're trying to say, if we could do it to that U.S. senator, guess what we could do to you? Guess what we could do to your family? And Logan, what is that? Chilling speech. And that is why the ACLJ really fundamentally exists, is so speech is never chilled, because that's the ultimate goal of the totalitarians.
All right, we'll be right back with more on Seculo. I'd love to hear from you. Give me a call. Of course, you want to support that work right now. Have your donation doubled at aclj.org. That's at aclj.org. And again, give me a call at 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
We've witnessed monumental legal victories, from defending the 14th Amendment and protecting our sacred American right to vote, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and standing up for the religious liberty of our kids and seniors. But even with the many historic wins we've achieved, the battle is far from over. The attacks on our constitutionally protected rights persist. Countless unborn babies remain in jeopardy, and across the globe, innocent Christians are being targeted and killed across this country and around the world. This fight isn't just the ACLJ's, it's all of ours. It belongs to every American who wants to preserve the values and beliefs on which this nation was founded. None of the victories we've won would have been possible without the unwavering support of ACLJ members and ACLJ champions. It's been an honor to fight for you all these years. Join us in fighting for freedom. Have your donation doubled at aclj.org/freedom.
Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. We've defended innocent babies, and we saw years of hard work come to fruition with the historic overturning of Roe v. Wade. We've literally helped save the lives of persecuted Christians. None of these critical legal victories we've scored would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. Freedom is never more than a generation from extinction. President Reagan's words were never more true than today. We cannot wait for them to get to us. The future of our republic and possibly our faith is at stake. That's why today we are launching our Freedom Drive. We know that freedom isn't free, and to have the resources we need to fight for your freedom, we need your support. Have your gift doubled today at aclj.org/freedom.
Kilo. Phone lines are open. We have a couple lines still available at 1-800-684-3110. We do want to tell you more. We're going to have great guests coming on later in the broadcast. Currently scheduled, we got Jeremy Moskowitz, a representative. We also have Rick Ronell joining us. So the back half of the show, packed. It is live, by the way. Just make sure you know that's not, you know, old clips that we're going to be playing. It's a completely live, 100% live, but it's when their schedule is allowed. So that's going to be the back half of the show. That's why I'm really spending time talking to you about Raise Your Voice Week right now. It has been a tough week as a lot of us celebrate Hanukkah this week. You know, it's night three. Just that moment, the pause of putting the menorah in your window going, is this safe for my family? When you see inflatable decorations being shot up in California and, you know, anti-Semitic slurs being screamed out. You go, is this safe for my family? And of course, you have to then go, yes, but we fight stronger than that. We have to. And you have to shine that light in the darkness. And that is true in terms of our fight for the freedom of speech. Because again, what comes for you, if not, is only the bad speech wins. And if you've been on social media the last few months, it feels like that has been what's been going on, whether that's from conspiracy theories, whether that is the negativity that's coming through, from all levels and from both sides. It has been a rough go at it, folks. Let's not pretend.
From the vice president yesterday, we were talking
from the vice president and the president. It feels like, you know, we live in a very strange world right now, where
it's like on the one hand you're like thank you for all the policies that you're doing, sure, the work that you're doing, the actual fundament, you know, the things actually.
Yeah. If you stripped away the public perspective, of course, there's a lot of really good.
But I don't know why we're all having such willy nilly conversations about anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
On X, if we're that level of leader. Like, if you want to do that, host a forum.
Yeah. Yeah.
And let's
important.
Really talk
I think that's
about
very important.
Bring Israelis in and from political sides and say, you know, we debate issues in our country. Like, we don't agree with each other on strategies of war, strategies combating terrorism, how to treat this, abortion. I mean, all those issues exist, LGBT issues.
Well, I think
they all exist in because it's a Western country. They're dealing with a lot of the issues we deal with, yeah. Taxes, all of that. So if you want to have those debates, you could say, see, Israelis debate it. U.S. can debate how we should be involved. At the same time, when you say in a tweet, and I'll just give a little preview here, as vice president, that you cannot like Israel but not be anti-Semitic, how do you not – if you just don't like a country that is 95% Jewish, right? If you don't like a country that's 95% Jewish, that's anti-Semitic.
Yeah, I mean, that again was from the vice president in the middle of a X conversation. We'll talk about that a little bit later of why that, again, why are you even engaging?
Yeah.
Why do you feel like that? Because you can isolate that.
He may have been trying to do something good.
He may have been.
But, you know, words are so parsed on X because you're limited in words. You don't have time to explain. You know,
I think it's time that we reevaluate the way a lot of our leadership communicates with us. And I think on those kind of things.
If you want to post, hey, we did this.
Of course.
Here's the link.
No, that's the modern way of messaging. But why you're getting engaged in that level and why you're taking really what could be, look, the most divisive time. You're talking about also doing it at a time after the attack.
After a mass shooting, it's when Jews in America and around the world are scared about celebrating what is a minor holiday.
Yeah, you don't want to hear that from the vice
president.
And
really a fun holiday in Judaism. It's one that we still celebrate in our family.
Yeah.
We were lighting the second night last night. Our kids love it. They didn't have enough gelt last night. So gelt is the chocolate gold coins.
But again.
The dreidel. You know, it's kind of become like, it's part of a Western like knowledge because of movies that we see and also just intermarriage that happens. Yeah. That even you might not, you might be Christian, but you have this Jewish heritage or intermarriage couples that are doing both, which Vice President Vance is doing.
Yeah, I think a lot of
with
people
with Catholicism and Hinduism
are like that. And a lot of people are responding to what's going on. And they see, like, I see a lot of my Christian friends, including, I mean, obviously our family is Christian family, yeah. My Christian friends lighting menorahs this week, telling about
it's a great story
of triumph of God's protection and, you know, Jesus miracles. What was going on? Old Testament style stories and great analogies and great allegories you can teach to your kids. But that's why you have to have your voice. That's why you have to be able to respond when people say things that even you disagree with and be able to have that voice that's loud. When
we're doing the light,
yeah,
you know, it's the light over darkness.
When we're right now, though, we are in this special week, and I do want to preview. Give you a bit of a preview to our new project. Again, this is called The Chilling Effect, A War on Free Speech.
This is different than what people may have seen
yesterday.
This
is brand new.
So I want to tell you that. If you saw the preview from yesterday, we're giving you a new one today.
All week, you're going to be seeing brand new content.
I checked that with the team.
Yeah, we're going to do brand new content this week that you're going to see. Again, this footage was shot, delivered. They showed it to me. I go, we can do a lot with this. We can make this something really, really special. And that is why we want to put together, and it only happens with your support. And yesterday, like I said, you showed up. And I'm going to encourage you to do it again, and your donation will be doubled. So here's a quick preview at another new look at The Chilling Effect, War on Free Speech.
If I tell you to close your eyes and imagine free speech, I think most of us imagine people on the street, picket signs, megaphones.
This is your baby girl or your baby boy. This is not a clump of cells. This is not a parasite. This is your baby.
God tells you what to do, you cannot hesitate. I'm a cyborg preacher and evangelist outside the Northeast Ohio Women's Center. We share the gospel and we offer to minister to women. We have to raise our voice and use our voice to get them to hear us over generally kazoos, whistles, cowbells, music, any sort of musical instrument you can hold with your hand, they probably use.
Man, we're all here for you. Please don't do this.
If you fear going out in public and saying something, if you fear that based on perception or the reality that government is going to retaliate, then you're dealing with the First Amendment issue. That itself can be a symptom of other problems, and it can lead to a chilling.
The sergeant on duty comes up and said, "You're coming with us." And I'm like, "For what?" I was confused. And under threat of arrest, I went and followed him because I had no idea what was going on. And then I was eventually cited for disorderly conduct.
He said, whether or not you use amplified sound, if you cause annoyance to anybody again, then you're going to be charged.
We're always a little bit fearful that he or I will be taken to jail.
That has been our pro-life work for decades. And it's still happening. I mean,
it was great that people got to see what the other side's doing.
Yeah, always.
The noise making, the amplification, and what those clinics look like.
And
my God, you want to go into a place like that because of those laws that, you know, and have a invasive medical procedure where you're taking one human life. And by the way, if you mess it up, you can have two human lives at stake.
And remember, though, this is what's going on in the streets of America. And who's getting arrested are the peaceful protesters who are not even protesting. They're just trying to really help you make a better decision. But you know what? It's their right to do what they want to do. And of course, you see that. What's crazy, though, if that footage was grainy in a different aspect ratio, they could be right out of 1985, right out of 1989, 1991. These are the same battles we've been fighting here for 35 years. The difference is the time has changed. You have seen what we never thought could happen with the overturning of Roe versus Wade. We have seen so much progress, but still things like this happen. You need to have your freedom of speech, because in areas of the country where abortion is illegal or unthinkable, there are areas where it is more legal than it's ever been, to the point of just incredibly disturbing. So you have to make sure that we have people like the Knotts who can go out there and still speak their mind. So right now, I want you to support our brand new docuseries, The Chilling Effect. It only happens if you want it to happen. Your donation is doubled today, too, because it's matched during a year-end freedom drive. We've got a second half hour coming up. It's going to be packed. We are going to take some more calls, just found out, at 1-800-684-3110.
Freedom is never more than a generation from extinction. President Reagan's words were never more true than today. The ACLJ is expanding our efforts in the courts, on Capitol Hill, and across the globe in defense of freedom. That's where you come in. We urgently need you to continue. We know that freedom isn't free. And to have the resources we need to fight for your freedom, we need your support. Have your gift doubled today at aclj.org/freedom.
I'm talking about freedom. We will fight for
keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo, second half hour. Look, some things change. Obviously, there's obviously some scheduling changes that happened because we were talking about some high-level guests. But because some of those changes are happening, Rick Rennell's still joining us. But we're going to have a segment, Calls and Comments. So I want you to go ahead and get online right now. Get on hold, 1-800-684-3110. Of course, we are talking about a myriad of different topics, whether that is the Brown University shooting or currently at large, armed and dangerous. We'll keep you updated if anything happens to that. We are talking about the fight against anti-Semitism. As we know, this was a very intense week for the Jewish community as we're celebrating Hanukkah and at the same time having this attack happen in Australia, having the protests that have gotten out of hand in some of these places against the Jewish community, shooting of just inflatables on someone's front yard in LA. You know, this is what's happening around the country. At the same time, you have the FBI thwarting a terrorist attack in Los Angeles on New Year's Eve from a group that probably would be another one of these. Thankfully,
yes, they're thing says pro-Palestinian.
Thankfully, we have an FBI that's doing their jobs in that sense and are trying to stop these kind of things from occurring. When there's these big coordinated attacks that look like we're going to happen with IEDs, and we're probably going to learn more about that coming up. So it again, and then of course you have the tragedy of Rob Reiner and his wife. It just feels like the week has been heavy, very heavy. And you don't want that, understandably, in the week before Christmas. You don't want that as a week before New Year's Eve. You know, this is the holiday season for everyone right now. And I understand that turning on the news can be very difficult. Turning on your television just to see tragedy after tragedy after tragedy, and you may wonder, what is it that I can do? And of course, we have resources, we have ways that you can help, and I encourage you to go to aclj.org just to look at some of the resources that we have that hopefully will help you out here. But I understand it's tough. Here's what I'm going to ask you. It's very simple. Phone lines are open. I want to take your calls, but I want to know your thoughts, and I want you to call in, and if you have a feeling about any of these issues, let's hear from you today. But if you're online, I want to see just, and I like to do this because it's always interesting for me to see around the world where people are watching from. And, you know, I'm not doing it just because I like to look at it. I like to see where people are watching, but I also love to see where we can be praying for, where we can be activated. So let me know in the chat, if you're watching on YouTube or on Rumble or Facebook, where are you watching from? You know, where are you around the world? Because what's always fun to see is not only do we cover this country, is what happens in America, Jordan, it's something we've talked about before. Yes. What happens in America has such a bigger impact on the world than I think people who spend time overseas don't understand. That if you turn on the news in Europe, likely you're hearing about President Trump.
Oh, every day. You're definitely hearing about what's happening in the United States of
not
America.
The same.
Some days more than others, but that's usually, especially for European-wide news services, they're leading with, what is America up to? Because why? Well, the Middle East, we're the lead, you know, party there. Russia, Ukraine, we're the lead party in between those two. And so because Europe has kind of lost some of its hard power and economic power, and it started, you know, the divisions there with the EU and the UK and all of those things, these podcasts or web shows, places that are free.
They're free worldwide.
I'm telling you, you're impacting people all over the world, Logan, and that's for good, but also can be for very bad.
Yeah, I mean, our audience is growing massively. You know, we've been talking about that this is the biggest the show has ever been in its 30 years of existence because we're now able to reach a live worldwide audience. Because we're also not dictated, not controlled by sponsors, by networks. We are on a lot of great networks, and I appreciate them on terrestrial radio, Sirius XM, or Salem News Channel, but they don't control the content that we provide here. We're able to do that to you without a paywall, by the way. That is something that very few, even in our space, can offer. You know, there's people who always are like, you know, you get the first 10 minutes, and then you got to go pay. That's not what we do here. We want to make sure the message is out there. By the way, that only happens because it's not like our crew doesn't get paid. Of course they do. I want the best of the best here. That only happens because you give and you donate. And sure, it's Raise Your Voice Week, but no, also, we're talking about an incredible media team that put together that documentary series and are still working on it right now as we speak, and we want to up the production of that. We're in pre-production, really early days of production. You're seeing more just samples of what it could look like. So go to aclj.org. Know you're supporting not only our legal efforts, but our media team as well when you support the work at aclj.org/voice. If you do it at that link, aclj.org/voice, you'll also get your name in the credits as a founding producer. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. We've defended innocent babies, and we saw years of hard work come to fruition with the historic overturning of Roe v. Wade. We've literally helped save the lives of persecuted Christians. None of these critical legal victories we've scored would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. Freedom is never more than a generation from extinction. President Reagan's words were never more true than today. We cannot wait for them to get to us. The future of our republic and possibly our faith is at stake. That's why today we are launching our Freedom Drive. We know that freedom isn't free, and to have the resources we need to fight for your freedom, we need your support. Have your gift doubled today at aclj.org/freedom.
We've witnessed monumental legal victories from defending the 14th Amendment and protecting our sacred American right to vote, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and standing up for the religious liberty of our kids and seniors. But even with the many historic wins we've achieved, the battle is far from over. The attacks on our constitutionally protected rights persist. Countless unborn babies remain in jeopardy, and across the globe, innocent Christians are being targeted and killed across this country and around the world. This fight isn't just the ACLJ's, it's all of ours. It belongs to every American who wants to preserve the values and beliefs on which this nation was founded. None of the victories we've won would have been possible without the unwavering support of ACLJ members and ACLJ champions. It's been an honor to fight for you all these years. Join us in fighting for freedom. Have your donation doubled at aclj.org/freedom.
Welcome back to Secular. Rick Rennell's joining us now. We also have phone lines open for you at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to take some calls on the next segment. We had some schedule shakeup, so now we have some time for your calls and comments. So if it's about any of the topics we brought up today, I want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. Before we get to Rick, Will, I know there was a topic you wanted to bring up with him.
Well, because I love to bring up Rick's favorite hometown newspaper, the LA Times. And they have a new investigation out, Rick, that some DOJ lawyers resigned from their posts because of a fraudulent University of California anti-Semitism probe is what the fraudulence in quotes. So, you know, the reporter's just doing his due diligence and quoting these individuals. Once again, we see that there is a push from the outside to try and reframe what everyone saw with their eyes on the campuses of University of California, many of the Ivy League schools across the country, as people that were Jewish were targeted. It wasn't just an anti-Israel protest. We saw it. We know what happened. We saw the fear in students just trying to walk to class. But now the LA Times is trying to take disgruntled DOJ employees and make this into some sort of fraudulent retribution campaign by President Trump against the University of California. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, first of all, let's remember that this reporter from the LA Times is actually a former Huffington Post reporter. And he says that he has 9 anonymous quotes. Now, what is crazy in today's world is how editors are allowing reporters to say they have 9 anonymous sources. You're telling me that out of 9 people, if they exist, not one of them would go on the record, and they're all supposedly former DOJ officials. So it's not like their job is going to be threatened. They can't even be whistleblowers at this point. But the reality is that we see this from the LA Times. We see this from the far left reporters. They use anonymous sources. And I have to tell you, I don't even believe that these people exist. I think this is completely made up. The abuse of reporters talking about anonymous sources is just too much. And we've got to get back to the point where editors question, who is your source? Why are they saying they're anonymous? What is their motive, if they even exist?
Well, and Rick, the timing of this report comes out over the weekend. We also see what happened in Australia. We see that anti-Semitism is a evil that is pervasive throughout the world, not just in Australia, as we saw that horrific attack on Hanukkah, but as we see here in the United States as well, that this evil is growing and it is real. So it's just even mind-boggling why this reporter, former Huffington Post alum and now LA Times reporter, feels that this is the angle to go down. And we talk about the anonymous sources issues, how much leeway that the media is getting these days of creating things out of thin air, of pushing narratives, doing opinion journalism under the guise of investigative reporting. How do you see this changing in the future?
Well, I think the grown-ups, the editors, are going to have to step in, because right now we have this phenomenon in the media, and I see it every day because I'm one of the targets, is that when a newspaper reporter will write something, they can use anonymous sources, they can take a hit on you, but there will be four or five other newspapers or outlets that will rewrite. They call it a rewrite. They will rewrite the story. Like, for instance, if the LA Times says, Rick Grenell says that there is no sun, there would be the Daily Beast, the Huffington Post, Vanity Fair, all of these left-wing publications would do the same story, and then buried in it, they would say something like, oh, this is from another newspaper. You don't even know that the reporters that are repeating this gossip never talked to me, never checked the sources. This is what they call a rewrite in the industry. Now, I can tell you, I've been around the media for 25 years. This used to be immoral to do. Reporters early on would say, no. Editors would say, no. Right. They would not allow you to just rewrite something that another newspaper said and pretend like it's your source. This industry has got to change. It's getting worse, and we need editors who are adults, who are more mature, to step in and control some of these young reporters who are just recklessly and breathlessly quoting their friends or making up sources.
Yeah, it's whatever you can do to get clicks. I think that's sadly the world we live in, Rick, is they need to sell ads. They only sell ads if they have enough people going to their website, and only people go to the website if there's something salacious for them to click on. And if it doesn't exist, well, just make it up. And like you said, you could go out there and say, there is no sun. They'd run it. They'd all run it. And then listen, you'd come out and say, I never said that. Then maybe they'd issue a correction, and that correction, the difference is, and we've seen this happen so many times with us with even social media. It's like when things got flagged for this was misinformation or whatever, we'd say, well, no, it wasn't. Here's why. Then, of course, that social media platform would say, you know what, you're right. But they had already notified, 5 million people that what you shared was fake news. They didn't, of course, send them a, by the way, we were wrong, here's the correction push notification. So even when they have that small bit of journalistic integrity, the corrections are always buried. They are never up front for anyone to see.
Yeah. Now, look, one thing that you hit on, which is as important for us to say and admit, is that the media is a business. They all now know who their customers are, whether it's right, left, center, and they just play to their customers. And so if we can just be upfront and say, this isn't a news organization, it's a business that is going to repeat some news and some editorials, I think the public would respond positively. They would say, okay, now I know exactly who you are. I don't have to pretend that you're unbiased news. And gone is the day that we have any unbiased news organizations. They're all businesses. And so what do we do as a consumer? We have to be aggressive about understanding what we're consuming. We have a responsibility to get multiple sources, multiple outlets. Don't just go to one place. And also be skeptical. Question what you're reading.
Yeah, I mean, this is from the piece. And this to me is, these are supposed to be from one of the people who quit. Quote, I think there were absolutely Jewish people on campuses. Those are UC campuses that faced legitimate discrimination. Okay, right away that kills their headline, right? But the way we were pushed so hard to investigate, it was clear to many of us that it was a political hit job that actually would end up not helping anyone. You mean a political hit job because of the $17.5 billion UC receives in taxpayer funds from the federal government And they want to make sure that before they continue to receive those funds, Rick, that they handle what this aggrieved, unnamed DOJ attorney said were absolutely Jewish people on campuses facing legitimate discrimination. So right away, they quit because they didn't like the aggressiveness of combating anti-Semitism by the Trump administration and the DOJ?
Yeah, this is exactly what you're pointing out is exactly the problem within the industry, which is a reporter who has an agenda and who goes out and finds other people repeating this agenda. And so this isn't a news article from the Los Angeles Times. This is a Huffington Post style repeat and recycle what the far left believes about any issue. And they do it in the form of news. And so I think that what we have to do is call it out. Maybe we should have a segment a week where we just pick one of the most egregious stories, dissect it, talk about the reporters. I think it's really important to out these reporters and the editors, find out who edited the piece, who wrote the headline, who wrote the lead. These people need to be held to account. And one of the best ways is to name them, shame them, hold them accountable, and make sure that they're getting press attention on their bias.
Yes, so we have a case coming. I'm not getting into the details now, but it's on exactly this. It's being able to combat this legally. A lot of those, you know, defamation cases, all this kind of stuff, it's become almost impossible in the United States of America. And because of that, and I think those who were originally writing the laws had no idea what – it was impossible to predict the social media, the fact that you can become famous on your own, more famous than someone on local TV, which used to be the only place you got – your news sources or the three channels. And so again, we are at the forefront of this. And I just think that, Rick, what's important for people is when they see these headlines, what these news agencies do now is they include the truth in there. So the truth was the headline's false.
Yeah. We always said headline reform is what's needed.
The Jewish kids were being discriminated against aggressively. Yeah. They just don't like the way the DOJ was aggressively trying to end it.
Yeah, Rick, we are running out of time for this segment. We appreciate you calling in. Look, we are on the forefront of the fight for free speech, and that's a part of that, too, because free speech also needs to be honest speech. We need to be making sure when we get these sources, we know they're coming from the real and right places. So appreciate you for joining us, Rick, today. And with that, we're going to take a lot of calls and comments. If they come in, we've got a few lines open at 1-800-684-3110. We're also going to give you a preview of The Chilling Effect, our brand new series, if you decide you want it to happen. Because today and this week is Raise Your Voice Week at ACLJ.org.
We've witnessed monumental legal victories from defending the 14th Amendment and protecting our sacred American right to vote, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and standing up for the religious liberty of our kids and seniors. But even with the many historic wins we've achieved, the battle is far from over. The attacks on our constitutionally protected rights persist. Countless unborn babies remain in jeopardy. And across the globe, innocent Christians are being targeted and killed across this country and around the world. This fight isn't just the ACLJ's. It's all of ours. It belongs to every American who wants to preserve the values and beliefs on which this nation was founded. None of the victories we've won would have been possible without the unwavering support of ACLJ members and ACLJ champions. It's been an honor to fight for you all these years. Join us in fighting for freedom. Have your donation doubled at ACLJ.org/freedom.
Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. We've defended innocent babies, and we saw years of hard work come to fruition with the historic overturning of Roe v. Wade. We've literally helped save the lives of persecuted Christians. None of these critical legal victories we've scored would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. Freedom is never more than a generation from extinction. President Reagan's words were never more true than today. We cannot wait for them to get to us. The future of our republic and possibly our faith is at stake. That's why today we are launching our Freedom Drive. We know that freedom isn't free, and to have the resources we need to fight for your freedom, we need your support. Have your gift doubled today at aclj.org/freedom. freedom.
Welcome back to Secular, last segment of the day. Last time for calls, 1-800-684-3110. And listen, we're going to have a special guest today. We had Representative Moskowitz, but Washington, D.C., things change.
The last week of voting, sure. It's healthcare right now. And
there's a lot of stuff on the calendar.
You get
this
called
week
up. You listen, Jared's someone I text with. There's
He's a friend.
You have a group of members of Congress I text with. Again, both sides of the aisle.
But he's also been one of those people that's been on the forefront of the fight against anti-Semitism, something that he's very passionate about, in support of Israel. Even one of the Democrats, he's a Democrat that is still, traditionally.
Really, October 7th kind of is when we kind of came back together and said there's a lot of things we can do together because of what's happening inside the Democrat caucus. And now what we're starting to see.
The bubble up.
Bubble up. First, it was, it's on the outside. It's on the podcast of the more extreme, like, the Nick Fuentes's of the world, and then Tucker Carlson kind of takes it up to another level. Candace Owens takes it to another level. And then the vice president starts getting involved in the conversation.
Yeah, this happened last night.
Which I don't know what – it was – okay. It was based off a report from a couple – actually from 2024. And it was a study done that showed that a lot of young voters on both sides of the aisle held more anti-Israel and anti-Jewish beliefs. And it was kind of a sliding scale of, like, they weren't all like hatred. There was a sliding scale. But what it showed was there wasn't a huge difference among if you were a young voter that voted Democrat or you're a young voter that voted Republican. And we've kind of seen that now, is that we knew that this kind of infected the young left, the young radical left. We are starting to see it infect the young right. And when I say the young right, I mean like, staffers on Capitol Hill. So the vice president first had – he put an ex post up about that, and he said the one thing that this article misses, and it is true, is that it doesn't talk about also the demographics that have changed in America. So you're talking to a lot of remember, we brought in people from parts of the world that do have very anti-Israel views. We have different kind of immigration. So all of that needs to kind of go in there. Is it really just white kids? I think that's what he was saying. Are you trying to blame a bunch of like white kids,
right,
who are conservative and liberal? Or are you going to actually break this down by demographic groups? And I think if it was left there, that was it. That was fine to say. Like, I don't know even if I agree with that. I think all this report was trying to say is that this is an issue both sides have to confront, which I don't think that's that controversial. We know it. We see it.
I think that's real.
You can hear it and find it. He knows that too. But then someone who is I don't know if I'd call him white supremacist online, but it definitely anti-Semitic. Wrote back, not going to say their names, I don't want to give them more. It said, actually, to the vice president, actually, white conservative Zoomers don't really like Israel anymore either, JD, which again, I mean, it's the vice president of the United States. He's a really smart guy, by the way. He's also married to someone who is Hindu, and he's got kids with different color skin. I mean, all these things that you would think would make it, even when you see these attacks, say, this is like one step away. I mean, there were people confusing, when there was moves against Muslims, which we totally condemn. They were confusing Indian people with Muslim people. I mean, that was horrible that we were seeing that. It was horrible, any of this kind of violence. But then he writes back to her, I would say there's a difference between not liking Israel or disagreeing with a given Israel policy and anti-Semitism. If he'd said, I think there's a difference between disagreeing with a given Israel policy and anti-Semitism, I don't really think that I'd be talking about this. I don't think he needed to write, I would say there's a difference between not liking Israel.
Not liking Israel is a really big statement.
Because
not saying you disagree with Netanyahu or the administration. That may be what he's inferring
here. I think
here.
He put that in the quote, so maybe he's trying to, but this is the problem with X.
Oof, not
things
good
that
look.
Are this deep. And again, what I would just say, the vice president's team, who I really respect, because I think he's a really smart guy, he's a great conservative leader, he's young, our age, and I think that's cool, is let's not like play into Nick Fuentes, because what Nick Fuentes wrote back right to the vice president, and he had an opportunity. He could have smacked Nick Fuentes down because Nick Fuentes said it's okay to be anti-Israel,
yeah,
which is kind of what you read in the vice president's. I don't think he implied that. I'm just saying, like, guys, this is what it reads like to those who want justification for their views. And you just gave Nick Fuentes, who, by the way, attacks your wife because of her family being immigrants and her faith and her differences. So in effect, she's attacking you and your kids. and you're giving him a voice. And I'm not saying you need to respond to, if you're going to respond to this other woman, you might as well respond to Nick Fuentes and say, no, that is not right.
Yeah, at some point, maybe, look, I mean, we've always said, you know, the president, the vice
Somebody
president.
Needs to be sitting down.
Yeah, and saying, look, if you're going to put something out like this, we need to be thinking about it, because I would say there's a difference between not liking Israel and anti-Semitism.
It's 2 days into Hanukkah. There was just a mass killing of Jews in Australia, and you're talking about the difference between not liking Israel and being anti-Semitic.
Why are
Here's
you
the
even
problem.
Engaging?
If you don't like all of Israel and you don't think it should exist, because that's what that means. I don't like Israel. There's nothing they can do for me to like them.
Yeah, I don't care if they have a more liberal.
It's 90% Jewish, and it's the place where all Jews can go if they are being persecuted wherever they are in the world. That's why it exists. It's why the world created it. It was supposed to be a positive from the Western world to say, you know what, these people need a place to go, because there's too many leaders that pop up all over different parts of the world, from the Middle East to Europe to Africa, all over Asia. So we've got to have a place where we can protect, where Jews can protect themselves. And we're going to stand with those countries. We're going to stand with Israel. And that's what the world created Israel for. And yet, so if you're against the whole idea of Israel, it's anti-Semitic, because it's 90% Jewish. Yes, they treat their non-Jewish citizens equally.
Yes, of course.
They have equal voting rights, political rights. They serve in the military, high levels.
All religions are represented.
There are high-level Muslim members of the IDF, and thank God for them, because they can provide services that Jewish IDF soldiers couldn't do. They understand how great life is there in Israel. Of course, their voices don't get any recognition whatsoever. People act like they don't exist. There's black Jews. People always forget about the Ethiopian Jews. Go to Israel. You'll see them in their uniforms. Why did they leave? They left because there was persecution issues going on in places like Ethiopia.
There's Nigerian Christians. There's been a huge population of Nigerian Christians who have relocated to Israel right now.
Right.
Because of the persecution of Christians.
Right.
Well, and Logan, it goes back to what you said on the broadcast yesterday about that.
I just want to say, you can't say you don't support Israel as a whole existing and say, I'm not anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
That doesn't exist. That doesn't work.
And it goes back to what you said after the attack against Jews on Hanukkah in Australia. That is not an attack because you don't like Israel. It's right. An attack on Jews. And people that try to parse this out publicly, even in places of authority, they doth protest too much. Like, they're trying to make something fit that doesn't exist. At the end of the day, it is all because it's rooted in anti-Semitism. It's thousands of years old. This is not a new concept. No. And people that are buying into it now and saying they don't like Israel are buying into the jihadist lie of Israel being the little Satan. You know what the other thing is? Is they're one step away from hating the big Satan as well, which is the United States.
Right, that's why they're planning. You see the attack in Australia, and then you see the bombings that were thwarted on New Year's Eve in Los Angeles. That was not targeted just at Jews. That was targeted at America, because we are the great Satan.
All right, with that, we only have 45 seconds. We're going to keep this conversation rolling tomorrow. You want to make sure you're part of it. Make sure you're subscribing to our YouTube channel. Over 546,000 people have subscribed to our YouTube channel alone. We're able to offer this content completely for free because people like you support the work of the ACLJ. December is the most important month for that. So if you want to support that, not just our series, the new series we're going to be rolling out, The Chilling Effect, we're on free speech. Of course, that's something we're promoting this week, as it is Raise Your Voice Week. But with that also, I just want you to support the work. This is a great time to do it, whether that's for our legal work or media work. Go to aclj.org. Your donation will be doubled. You can become a champion. Your first donation is doubled. Thank you so much for watching and listening today. We'll be back tomorrow with more on Seculo.
Freedom is never more than a generation from extinction. President Reagan's words were never more true than today. The ACLJ is expanding our efforts in the courts, on Capitol Hill, and across the globe in defense of freedom. That's where you come in. We urgently need you to continue. We know that freedom isn't free, and to have the resources we need to fight for your freedom, we need your support. Have your gift doubled today at aclj.org/freedom.